Good evening, everybody. Hello, welcome to Shift Church.
Oh, hello, everyone. Hello.
Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Those of you alive with us, it is Wednesday evening, but 8 o'clock. But those of you who are listening on the podcast later, or catching up on YouTube or Facebook, of course, it isn't Wednesday at 8 o'clock. It's a different time, which is very exciting. Church moves to where and when you are. Nick Wright. It's Tim Carter here from All Saints in Wellington. And I've got Lynn with me this evening. Say hello, Lynn.
Hello.
Hello. And say hello, Liz.
Hello. It's good
hello.
To see you.
And we are focused starting to get...
Do you say hello on the stream? You can see a few of you are there. I can't see any names yet. But
well, Liz's wait. For those of you on the podcast... Liz is waving, which is really helpful. Yeah, I wonder how we're all doing. We were comparing lockdown haircuts before we came on air.
I thought Tim was rocking a 90s Britpop hairdo, like Noel Gallagher or something like that, or him from Pulp. Him from Pulp. What's the name? Oh, it's gone.
Pulp Fiction? No.
No, that's a film.
The guy from the band Pulp, you know, the Common People. And
you mean Jarvis Cocker?
Yeah.
He's much thinner than I am.
Yeah, but it was that kind of hair thing going on.
It was indeed. Do you want to send us pictures?
I think they had the beards in the 90s. They were very kind of clean shaven, but with that kind of...
Yeah. If you want to send us pictures in this comment stream of your best lockdown haircut, you could do that.
Oh dear.
Email.
You could have started something.
Yeah, could have done. Or descriptions. Yes, so if you are with us tonight and you want to join the conversation in any way, shape or form, you can put in the comments stream. If you're catching up later, do email us, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll read your emails out. And that will be like a... I'll be like Simon Mayo reading people's emails. That would be great. I'd love to do that.
How about that? Hello to Ali and Carrie Ann and Mike and others who are watching. It's good to see you.
Yeah, and you can say hello to each other in the comment stream as well.
Yeah.
You been up to anything interesting this week, Lynn?
My son came round on Sunday and a whole load of... hard work in the garden, heavy lifting, heavy lifting, and all sorts of things.
He came round to see his mum, and you put him to work.
Yes.
Rightio.
We've got nobody else to help.
No, that's fair enough. No, that's good.
That sounds about right. And we had some nice sunshine as well, didn't we?
For once, yes.
Yeah, I actually did some gardening at the weekend. I actually mowed the lawn at the weekend. First cut of the year.
You have that little sit-on thing, don't you?
I do have that little sit-on thing, yeah. Still takes
just
forever.
Just has to ride it on the town.
So anyway, yes, it's Shift Church. We're coming towards the end of Lent. Last week we were thinking about generosity. So if you had any reflections or thoughts from last week, then you want to stick it on the comments stream or send us an email about that, do that. You had any further thoughts about generosity this week?
I think the whole thing has just really challenged me. I've been thinking a lot about it and about, you know, how we are generous with our, I guess, our finances, but our time as well, and what that means. And I don't know, it just got me reflecting a lot. I wouldn't say I had any kind of wise words to share, but just that it's worth having more reflect on that kind of material that we looked at.
Yeah. Good. And this evening we're going on to think about gathering together, which is going to be an interesting one given that we're a virtual congregation. So what does gathering together mean for us? That's going to be an interesting one to think about this evening, on this session. But we're going to start just with a psalm, just to give us space to get our heads a bit clear, whatever our day's been like, whatever our day is still like, whatever we're doing, driving out in the car, perhaps, out for a walk, maybe even at work, listening on your headphones, whatever we're doing, we're just going to take time to breathe, be aware of the presence of God where we are, and have a psalm to just help us focus on that. So let's do that. Here we go.
The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day they pour forth speech. Night after night they reveal knowledge. They have no speech, they use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the ends of the world. In the heavens, God has pitched a tent for the sun. It is like a bridegroom coming out of his chamber, like a champion rejoicing to run his course. It rises at one end of the heavens and makes its circuit to the other. Nothing is deprived of its warmth. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous. They are much more precious than gold, than much pure gold. They are sweeter than honey from the honeycomb. By them your servant is warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can discern their own errors? Forgive my hidden faults. Keep your servant also from willful sins. May they not rule over me. Then I will be blameless, innocent of great transgression. May these words of my mouth and this meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight, Lord, my rock and my redeemer.
Good words.
Great words.
Words to reflect on. Yeah. Hello to Sean and Sandra and William. It's really good to have you with us, guys.
Yeah. And having had that, the psalmist reflecting on the word of God, we're going to read a bit of the word of God. So I think, Lynn, are you reading first?
Yep, I've got the Hebrews on.
Ah, what are you reading?
Okay, the first reading is from Hebrews chapter 10, 19 to 25. This is from the NIV version. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way open for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who has promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Amen.
Man. There's such a lot in that.
Yeah,
I love verse 23. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful.
Yeah. It's really powerful, gripping words, isn't it? Kind of unswervingly to the hope we profess.
Mm. It's not until you read it out loud that you realise that verses 19 to 22 are all one sentence.
Yeah.
Yeah, you sort of get quite breathless. It all, but it all—it's all quite strong.
It's one long sentence, yeah.
Yeah, I like "for he who promised is faithful," and it's just holding on to that, isn't it?
Yeah. We'll come back to look at that in a bit more detail. Mm-hmm. Liz, what are you reading for us?
I am reading John 8, verses 25 to 27.
Sorry, what chapter was that?
John 18. And it's about Peter in the courtyard, second and third denials. Meanwhile, Simon Peter was still standing there warming himself. So they asked him, "You aren't one of his disciples too, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." One of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the garden?" Again, Peter denied it, and at that moment, a cock began to crow.
Mm-hmm. So, shall we have a look and see what Nick, we've got guest speaker tonight, see what Nick had to reflect on that, then we can have a bit more of a chat about them. If you've got questions or comments or thoughts that you want to share, do put them in the comment stream. Do send us an email, and that would be great. We can engage with that. But I am now going to hand over to Nick for a bit. Here we go.
Good morning. Let's pray before we get started. Yeah, Lord, just thank you for this time together. Thank you for your word. And thank you for the way that your word transforms us and forms us together. So Lord, will you give us the ears to what you would have to say to us this morning, and hearts soft enough to be transformed by your word. Amen. So our John reading from this morning starts by saying, Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, since that disciple was known to the high priest. It's most commonly believed amongst theologians that the other disciple in this story is John himself. That's probably why we have so many details in the story. That's John who wrote this book, because John was there and with Peter in this intense and terrifying situation. John saw firsthand the religious leaders taunting and tormenting Jesus. And he saw firsthand Peter doing exactly what Jesus said he will do, and what Peter believed he never would. He turned his back on Jesus and denied knowing him three times out of fear. And this was probably the last time Peter saw Jesus, as they took him away to be crucified. And can you imagine that guilt and that shame that Peter must have felt? Believing that the last time Jesus saw Peter was when Peter turned his back on him. But John's detailed account paints a picture of what we have all done. The sin isn't us doing something bad and then God turning his back on us until we can offer up enough apologies to receive his forgiveness. Sin is ultimately us turning our backs on him, either out of rebellion are not just trusting in his ways and thinking we can come up with better solutions to life's problems, or maybe we're just a bit impatient with God and feel we need to take matters in our own hands to get things done. Maybe it's like Peter, and just we react out of fear. But sin is and has always been mankind denying God and turning our backs on him. And that's pretty much the story of the entire Bible in a nutshell. God creating man, man refusing God, and God's patient pursuit of bringing mankind back to himself. And of course, the climax of this story is Jesus on the cross, providing the way so that all of mankind, not just the Jews, but all of mankind, could turn and face their Creator once more. Now, with that image of Peter turning his back on Jesus and how that's a reflection of something that we have all done and that we're still prone to do, let's look at our reading from Hebrews. Now, this morning's reading from Hebrews begins with, "Therefore, brothers." I mean, nobody starts a conversation off by saying, "Therefore." No, that's something said after a point has been made. So the writer of Hebrews was making a point about something before he gets to what we have read this morning. So what was he talking about? Well, in the beginning of chapter 10, he was talking about how the Old Testament law was but a shadow of the good things to come. Now, in the Old Testament, there were sacrifices and offerings that people would have to make in order to be forgiven, and these sacrifices and offerings were never going to bring man back to God, but they do point to the one who will. And the writer of Hebrews takes a passage right from the middle of the Old Testament, which was from Psalm 40. And he says, "Sacrifices and offerings you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In burnt offerings and sin offerings you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I come to you to do your will, O God, as it is written of me in the scroll of the book." So, God never wanted our sacrificial rituals. He wants our hearts. And he wants for us to place our trust in him. And he goes on to describe how Jesus is the only sacrifice that could be made, and the only sacrifice we will ever need to bring us in communion with God. And so that's where this morning's reading picks up. So, therefore, brothers, and sisters, I guess I'll add that. Since we have confidence to enter the holy place is by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith. And then a couple verses later he says, let us consider how to stir up one another and love to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together. Now, I think what the writer of Hebrews is saying is, because we are so prone to turn our back on God, and at the same time we are people who have been bound together by the saving works of Jesus, we need one another. And we can't live out our salvation on our own. It's impossible, because part of Jesus's salvation plan was to form a community of people who will trust and follow him. Now, when you follow someone, you do what they say and you do what they do. And throughout Jesus's ministry, he gave his disciples several commands, and many of those commands include the phrase "one another" in them, like when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. Just after that, he said, "Love one another just as I have loved you." And the apostles continued Jesus' teachings with several more of these one another commands. "Consider others better than yourselves. Instruct one another. Be patient with one another. Forgive one another," and so on and so on. So being a follower of Jesus isn't about simply believing the right thing. There's more to it than that. Being a follower of Jesus means trusting in him by doing what he says to do. And we can't do the things that Jesus has told us to do without one another. Now, one of my favorite books from Dietrich Bonhoeffer is called Life Together, where he picks up on the importance of the one another command. It's a really, really good book that every Christian should read. And honestly, I don't live this stuff out very well at all. I understand it in theory, but where the rubber meets the road and community life gets real, I'm often looking for ways to escape. I'm an introvert, and being around people for too long just, well, it sucks the life right out of me. So I know community life is hard. On top of being an introvert, I can be selfish, vain, I'm all sorts of things that makes living in community difficult. And when I say community life, I mean true, honest, I mean being invested and vulnerable with one another sort of living. Not the nice, superficial, everything is rosy sort of thing we typically see when we gather together on Sunday. I'm good at that one. I can just about pull that off. That spending an hour and a half together on a Sunday, when we don't even really talk to most people, that's not community. I'm sorry. But that's not living life together. And it barely gives us the opportunity to do what Jesus has actually told us to do. In Life Together, Bonhoeffer talks about the importance of confessing your sins to one another. Now, Bonhoeffer said, sin demands to have man by himself. It withdraws him from the community. The more isolated a person is, the more attractive will be the power of sin over him. And the more deeply he becomes involved in it, the more disastrous his isolation. He then goes on to describe how the act of confessing our sins to one another is not only exposing the evil to the light, but that it gives us the opportunity to experience the shameful and humiliating walk to the cross that Jesus experienced, as his naked body was dragged through town, being spat on and just being made a joke. But we know that he went through that for us. And when he said, take up your cross and follow me, he's calling us to a life that is vulnerable and honest and laid bare before others. It's not for our sake, but so that others might see Jesus glorified in us. Now, a few years ago, a couple of friends and I, we decided to take our discipleship more seriously. And we wanted to know Jesus more, and to have our lives be shaped around his word. We wanted to learn how to love more like Jesus and to be more like Jesus. So we would regularly meet up as a group of three, and we shared how God's word was speaking to us and just challenging us and transforming us. And we would listen carefully to one another. I think that was one of the more important things to do in this. Is listen carefully to one another and to not be afraid to ask one another those difficult questions. And the Holy Spirit was really at work with us three during that period. And I haven't developed relationships in that way with others since. And I don't know why that is. I mean, out of fear, maybe. Probably. But I still want to take my discipleship seriously. And my prayer is that you have the same desire. And to do this, we need one another. If you have some people around you that you trust already, and you'd like to go further in your discipleship, I can share with you the process that my friends and I went through. It's not a complicated thing. Or if you'd feel more comfortable talking to a woman about doing something like this, my wife said Nate can explain the process to you. She's been in similar groups. But just please, pray about it. And talk to those that you trust and see if they would like to take the commands of Jesus a bit more serious with you. But if you think I might be able to help, yeah, just email me. My email address is nick@allsaints-wellington.org. Well, let's pray. So, Lord, you are a God of community, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you've created us in the image of this community. You've seen our weakness and how we are prone to escape from what you've created us to be, and that's in community with one another and with you. And thank you, Jesus, for clearing the way so that we can live in this community again. But will you please give us the courage to do it? Amen.
Thank you, Nick.
Yeah.
My apologies, because I think I sent Liz not quite the wrong reading, but I should have asked her to start at verse 15 and she started at verse 25. So when Nick was talking about the John reading, he was talking about John and Peter having gone together to the courtyard of the high priest, which we didn't read.
So did I read wrongly?
No, you didn't read wrongly. I gave you the wrong reading. I asked you to start at verse 25 and I should have asked you to start at verse 15. It's my fault.
Okay, yeah, good.
So if you want to do a bit of homework, go and read the first 10 verses and then you'll fully understand what Nick was talking about. And the benefits of this, of course, is that you can rewind. You can go and have a read of it and then listen to what Nick said again. So, yeah, sorry about that. But initial reactions, thoughts, reflections, either from you folk or Liz from anything on the stream?
Not on the stream yet, but do join in with your reflections on that. I just thought there was so much in what he said. I mean, I could listen to that again and get different things out of it, you know what I mean? And I've heard it once already as well. And I just think, you know, he talked about how we are prone to turn our back on God, and obviously the whole thing with Peter. And I thought that was sort of a very perceptive way to lead into what he was talking about in terms of community, and then talking about that Hebrews passage and how, you know, God looks at the heart and not at, not so interested in the whole system of sacrifices in the Old Testament, and how do we apply that now, whether that's through kind of religious practice or whatever it is. God wants our hearts, and that I think that's a challenge. But obviously the heart of what he was saying was with the community aspect of it, and how God himself is community in the Trinity, and how community is just so vital to us as Christians. But I think, you know, in these times we have to find creative ways of being community, and I think we've been needing to do that through Shift Church and other ways, but it's not easy. But online community is community as well, is what I think I'm trying to say.
What about you, Lynn? What struck you?
Well, that was the first time I'd heard that, and I was first of all by his point about the Hebrews reading is it starts in the middle of a sentence and you have to know what goes before, which obviously I've not looked at, but then his point was, you know, because people were worshipping other idols, and I thought I immediately thought of this is how we are now. People are sort of at the moment, at this point in time, trying to worship other idols. They're worshipping retail and worshipping the economy, wanting to get back to that, but that's gone. And it's sort of, therefore, brothers, you know, there's a different way. a better way. And then the second thing that occurred to me is like echoing the point that Liz made, because I mean, I've heard Christians say, and I don't believe this, that because we're not actually meeting together, we're not fulfilling those words in Hebrews, you know, gather together. But we are gathered together now. And when he said those words, when those words were written, there wasn't such a thing as global pandemics. There wasn't the technology to meet together online. But having the technology now, and a situation where we have to use the technology, that doesn't surely negate people who can't meet together, who are too, you know, who is a risk to meet together, for persecuted Christians in other countries, who, you know, for it's illegal to meet together. So I think however you can meet together, that's fulfilling the law.
Well, yeah, and I think for me, it's the thing is that it his the writer of the Hebrews talking about meeting together. It flows on from his comment. He starts with, "Let us consider how we might spur one another on towards love and good deeds." Mm-hmm. So let's not give up meeting together. His main point is not you need to meet together. His main point is, you need to consider how to spur each other on towards love and good deeds.
Yeah.
And that's what it's about. And if there are other external factors preventing you meeting together, that's all right. You just have to find other ways of spurring each other on to love and good deeds. So that's the point. Mm. And you're right. It was when we started thinking about Shift Church, the whole point of it was, it's difficult for a variety of reasons for people to meet together now on a Sunday morning in some ways. For some of us, it's because of health issues. For some of us, it's because we work shifts and Sundays isn't great. For some of us, it's because family pressures means Sunday mornings isn't great. But actually, you're right, the technology enables us to meet together in a way which can enable us to spur each other on to love and good deeds through Shift Church, through other things as well.
Yeah, and reach out to other people. And just on the stream, on that point, Ali says, Nick's talk made her think about online church. She wasn't going to join in tonight as she feels quite poorly after her COVID vaccination, but realised how much she feels part of this group and is real church for her. So it's that kind of spreading out the boundaries of what we think church is.
Yeah. You don't have to feel 100% to be able to sort of sit here and take part.
Which has been amazing for me over the last year, to be able to be a part of so much to do with church that I would often have missed.
I was saying to somebody else that I've become more involved in the last year with All Saints than I was before, which is ironic.
The other thing that struck me from what Nick said was talking about how important it is in community to be real with one another. And he talked about his little group, didn't he? And how they were accountable to one another and vulnerable to one another. And I was just thinking how vital that is as well in community, because it's so easy to go along on a Sunday morning and then kind of put your mask on and say, I'm fine, and then go home feeling lonely because you haven't been real. Whereas if we share with one another, it changes dynamics and shifts perspectives. And helps.
It is quite scary though.
Yeah.
Particularly that confessing your sins to each other thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was part of a group for maybe 18 months once in my life where we kind of got to the stage where we could be that open with each other and say, this is the temptations, these are the struggles I'm facing at the moment. But it's not happened very often for me. But it was helpful at the time because it did stop me doing some stupid things.
I suppose you've got to know somebody really, really well and trust. Trust would be the thing.
Yeah. It's one of those difficult things, though, because you only really build that trust by being vulnerable. And it's one of those virtuous circles that trusting builds trust. Being vulnerable builds trust, which allows you to be more vulnerable. But as soon as, in order to start building, you have to take that first step of opening up a little bit and being vulnerable. And that can feel really, really risky.
Mm. Yeah, because you don't necessarily know how people will respond. And you don't know if you can trust them, you know, that far yet, if you don't know them very well. It is, it's really hard to get out there and be vulnerable, and costly. It is costly. Can go pear-shaped times. But I think it's still worth doing. Experience.
Just thinking about these different sizes of groups, and one of the things that I think we see through the story of Jesus' life is that he had different size groups. Yeah. So quite often we hear him talking to the crowd when there are lots and lots of people there. And he has one level of relationship with the crowd. And then he has his kind of wider group of disciples, probably about 70, who are kind of his church size group, if you like, which he had another closer level of relationship with. Then he had his 12, who were like the apostles, who he shared nearly everything with. And then he had two or three. So he had James and John and Peter. And just those four would go off and occasionally and do things. So they went up the Mount of Transfiguration with him. They went all the way into Gethsemane with him. And he had the closest relationship with human beings, with them. And I wonder if that's a model for us, is that...
He did a lot of his teaching in small groups.
He did. I wonder if that kind of stages of relationship could be a helpful model for us, because there's like, there are your acquaintances, which, how are you? Fine. You don't really need much more than that. Then you might have your church family, maybe 80, 100 people in total, who you can be a little bit open with and support each other. But then there's the kind of what we call All Saints small groups, your 10 or 12, who you see fairly regularly, who you can be really quite open with. But then it's really important to have those two or three as well that you can just bare your soul with, share everything with. Yeah. And I wonder if that helps us think about this together, whether it's physically or virtually or whatever. Do we feel like we have people in each of those kind of groups? And if we don't, do we want to pray about that? Do we want to ask God to give it to him? How can we develop those relationships? Is that helpful?
Yeah, I'd never really thought about it in terms of...
He was in different places as well, wasn't he? Because, I mean, he taught people's homes.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about reading about him in the temple, but he's... His reception wasn't very good there, was it? Outdoors, but again, it was a better climate than we have here. Outdoors and in them sort of more crowds of people sometimes, but in various places, really. Mm. Varied, if you like.
Yeah, I like the model. I'd never really thought about it before in terms of Jesus's different sized groups, but it makes a lot of sense to have those kind of smaller circles, ever decreasing circles, where you can, like you say, more deeply.
Mm.
But it also can be helpful, I think, personally, to share in bigger groups, because I think it helps other people to open up as well. But that does take, it can bear a cost as well.
The most helpful thing I heard once was, you think, oh, well, I'm not much of a, you know, an evangelist. I find it hard to pass the gospel. But they were saying that, like, when you go out about anywhere, everybody you pass is like a ripple. You know, that person at the bus stop, that child at the school gates or whatever, it's like a ripple going further and further out. and every person you pass to speak to is an opportunity. And I never thought of that before. Mm. You know, I'd think, oh, I don't see anybody. And then I think, oh, well, I passed that lady at the bus stop and that person in the spa. And then you kind of think, oh, I do see people. I do talk to people.
Absolutely, we do. Yeah. So how do we take this home? How do we help our youngsters, if we've got youngsters in our lives, how do we help them create, build Christian friendships where they can be open with each other? How do we model that, I wonder?
Well, it's tricky at the moment. Because
it's tricky at the moment.
Yeah. I suppose they see each other in school, don't they? Yeah.
But is it, you know, things like Caroline's doing a great job with some of the younger people's groups online and stuff.
Yeah.
Like that's helping them with those relationships in that community. But,
and Chrissy was talking about pathfinders.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's an interesting thing. It's, they are starting to see each other at school again, but it's going to be probably a while before we can run young church at church, and it's a long time since we've been able to. And Caroline has been doing some great work, but a lot of the kids hate the online stuff, the kind of Zoom stuff. And that's been one of the real challenges of parenting through this, is the parenting for faith without the support of church, and how maybe it's just been too hard with this gathering together stuff. But as we come out of lockdown, perhaps, how we encourage our youngsters to have those Christian friendships and to build those might be important.
Yeah.
I suppose if they've had to have online school as well, I mean, some have been in school, I know, because they're children of key workers, but if they've had to sort of do a lot of online lessons, they don't want to sit in front of a screen again.
No, they really don't.
Except if it's the television or their phone.
Yeah, and there's lots of good content out there for children and faith, but a lot of them, they're just not engaging with it because they've had enough and they just don't want to watch anymore. So it's finding ways in the real world to
music's one, because that's listening but not watching.
Yeah.
Although for them it is often watching music, it's YouTube and
yeah, they tend to watch it on YouTube, don't they, or Spotify, whatever. Anything else coming through on the stream that we want to bring up before we just...
A couple of people said that is a helpful model, the sort of Jesus's groups.
Okay. We'll continue to reflect on that. If you've got thoughts on that, if you're listening on catch-up, do drop me an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll dial them into a future Shift Church. But we're going to have the opportunity now to have some music, to reflect on this, to just invite the Holy Spirit to come and put something really in our hearts from what's come up in the conversation that we can engage with, that we can take forward into this week. I just need to do a little bit of...
green sharing.
Working out some stuff with videos, so we are nearly there, and I will share this screen in a minute and we'll have some music celebrating God's faithfulness. So let me do that. Here we go.
Change, you never fail, oh God.
So over to Lynn. I think you're going to be leading some prayers for us this evening. Is that right?
That's right. Lord, today we pray. We've just heard that it's 1 year since the start of lockdown. 1 year that we have been living with COVID. And we hear that it is not over yet. We have learned new norms, new ways of being, new ways of being society, new ways of being church. And we just pray, Lord, you'll be with us. You'll be have our hand upon us. Pray for those who have worked so hard. Pray for NHS workers, for carers, for shop workers, all key workers, Lord. We pray, Lord, for Europe, lockdowns, and the third wave that they are experiencing there. And we pray, Lord, that it may not happen here, but we realise that it may. And we just pray that people will be resilient. They will obey the government and that they will look to what is important and what and realise what is important. We pray for the unrest in Bristol, Lord. And we pray for Myanmar, where Rohingya refugee camp has been burnt with much loss of life. We pray also for the floods in Australia, which have massively flooded three whole states. 900 square miles, Lord. Much loss of life and much loss of everything. And we pray for those affected by the volcano in Iceland, Lord. Closer to home, we think of those who have lost someone they love recently, or indeed in this past year, whether it be friends or family. We pray for those who are still grieving, those who are still separated from family. And we pray that you'll be with them, that they'll feel your touch, holding them like a warm blanket and encouraging them, holding their hand as they walk through this dark time. I'm inspired to read out something that I read in the Live Lent reading from this morning. The whole creation has been infected and fallen under the influence of darkness. Creation groans, longing for new life. And we pray that creation will be reborn and that we will have a part in this, Lord. That we will treasure your creation as never before. Lord, bless us and keep us. Amen.
Amen. And do pray for each other in the comments stream if you're with us live. If you put things you'd like us to pray for, do put it in. And we pray for ourselves as we think about our relationships with one another, how we can spur each other on, encourage each other, but also make ourselves vulnerable to being encouraged and spurred on. Holy Spirit, would you show us who the people are we can trust so that we can build each other up as disciples of Jesus? Amen.
Lord, we lift up Charlotte to you, who is usually on the stream with us. She asked for prayer tonight, and we just pray for her, Lord, that you will be holding her tight, that she would know your arms around her, your everlasting arms, and Lord, that she would be able to rest in you tonight, and really have a sense of your love for her and your touch on her life. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Thank you, Lynn. Well, so we're coming towards the end of our session tonight. If there's been stuff that's stirred up for you or questions you've got or comments, do email me, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Now, next week is Holy Week, heading into Easter. I haven't talked about this with the team yet, but I think because this week's Palm Sunday, we might do a bit of an Easter special next week. I don't know what that's going to look like yet. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like yet. So if you're listening and there are things about Easter that you'd like us to cover, if you've got questions about Easter or favourite Easter readings or reflections or anything like that that you'd like us to include next week, then drop me an email. And we'll see what we can do. Can't promise. There might be far too much stuff. But we'll have a bit of a Easter special next week, I think. Executive decision. But that was this week. And do continue to consider how you can spur each other on to love and good deeds. It's always a good thing to do. Any final comments or reflections from the comments stream, Liz?
Ali said, the more we know we are loved and accepted by God, the easier it is to be authentic with people. I think that was just going back to the talk, but I think that's a good truth to remember, coming closer to God and just knowing that we're loved and just resting in that love.
Yeah, absolutely. Great stuff. Well, it's been great to be with you this shift, church. Look forward to seeing you over Easter virtually. And we're going to say goodnight now. So say goodnight, Lynn. Say goodnight, Liz.
Goodnight, Liz.
And goodnight from me as well. Goodnight. God bless. Thank you for being with us.